Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Today's scripture is from two places in the Bible, which I think that's really neat that we get to hear from two parts of the Bible today. The first from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He said to me, O mortal, eat what is offered to you. Eat this scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. He said to me, mortal, eat this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and in my mouth it was as sweet as honey. He said to me, mortal, go to the house of Israel and speak my very words to them. And from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Pray with me. Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation, the inspiration within all of our hearts this morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is, I think, the fifth Sunday in a series of sermons at the beginning of this new year that I'm calling Essential Christianity. What it is what do all those who claim the name of Jesus claim to hold in common? What is it that the Christian church, universal, holds in common? What are those central beliefs, the tenets of our faith? We started out our first Sunday with Jesus Christ, obviously, and his saving grace for all of us. The next Sunday, we went to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, both individually and as a church. The next Sunday, we talked about the universal church of Jesus Christ, of which we, United Methodists, are but a part of the great universal church of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we talked about the kingdom of God and its fullness. You probably have a big hint about what we're going to talk about today already. We share with many Christian communions a recognition of the authority of Scripture in the matters of faith. This morning, we're talking about the Bible, the central piece of who we are and how we have come to understand who we are and what we're about and what we believe and how we continue to live out our life in the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the role that Scripture plays in that pursuit and in our life. Our Old Testament reading takes us back, 2,500 years. We are now in Babylon, the Jewish exile, and the word of God comes to a priest by the name of Ezekiel. When you start reading the book of Ezekiel, you hear this call of God to this son of man, this mortal, and he sees this incredible vision, this vision of strange and wonderful beasts and wheels and wheels and wheels within wheels. And then he sees in this vision an arm coming out, extended, and in this arm there is a scroll. And the voice of God says, O son of man, O mortal, take and eat. And Ezekiel eats. And he says, it is sweet upon the tongue as honey. And then the Lord says, go and to proclaim my word to Israel. Have you ever got so absorbed in a piece of literature, a novel of some kind, some kind of work that just intrigued you so much that you read it straight through? Maybe it so intrigued you that you stayed up all night to finish. Maybe you read a work that so intrigued you and so involved you that you read it again. And then kept it, and then maybe 2 or 3 years later you got it back out and you read it again. And it had something new to say to you. Maybe you wanted to know more about it. You wanted to know more about the author, and maybe you wanted to know what other people thought about it, and so you read reviews. And then you wanted to know more about the historical context about it, and so you read reviews and other things related to how this particular work came into being. And then you read literary critics who really probed this and worked through this piece of literature and really gave it new dimensions and new life and new understandings for you that just filled in the blanks and the gaps. That's what it means to devour, to consume, to take in. That's what God was asking Ezekiel. Devour my word. Feast upon it. Set it out as a banquet. An everlasting banquet. A banquet that never grows old. A feast that never finishes. For it is a lifetime feast in the Word of God. I'm going to just take a little poll. I'm just curious, how many of you have taken Disciple Bible Study? Very good. So y'all have a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about, or what it means to feast upon the Word of God. And if you have taken Disciple 1 more than once, you know that it's easy to do, and that you can do it, and you're a different person every time that you enter into the feast of the word and you learn something new. Something always is ready for your insight and expansion of understanding. That's the beauty of the scriptures and the word of God. Our New Testament lesson is Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy. He's getting ready to retire and to give the work over to Timothy. And so he writes this letter to explain to him and help him in preparing himself to lead the church. And he says, I want you to remember our times together, and I want you to remember what you learned from me. You learned from me how to teach. You learned from my conduct and my behavior. You modeled the way that I lived my life, how I loved people, and you modeled and understood my faith and my whole aim in life and sense of purpose. We were together through times of persecution, and you learned my patience in times of trial and testing. All this comes to me, he says, from the study of scriptures. All scripture, he says, is inspired by God and is useful for teaching and reproof and correction and equipping all for the work and the glory of God. Now, this is an interesting little piece of scripture here, this little phrase, all scripture is inspired by God and useful in teaching. Now, for most of us in our English-speaking world, we look at that sentence and it's nothing unusual. We are quite familiar with every word in that sentence. And yet, when it was first written by Paul, in the ancient Greek, he used a brand new word. He made it up. This word never existed before Paul wrote it down in this sentence. What does that word mean? We use it all the time. You've probably used it several times this past week. Oh, that particular music inspired me. Oh, I felt such a deep sense of inspiration when I heard that talk or heard that speech or when I saw that sunset. It was truly inspirational. I was inspired. That's a made-up word. Paul used it for the very first time in that sentence. Scholars have looked and probed and probed and probed if they could find that word prior to this sentence, and they can't find it. The word in Greek is theopneustos, and what it means is God breathed. All of Scripture has been breathed in by God. It is God's breath. The Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, what is it, 67 some odd books in the Old Testament, 67, 69. It took 1,000 years to accumulate the Old Testament. The New Testament, 27 books, most of them letters, all written and accumulated in less than 100. Written in the midst of persecution, exile, imprisonment, on the run. And yet, here it is. A miracle unto itself that it was experienced and written, held on to, claimed, copied and copied and copied, and translated and translated and translated, and we have it today. The God-breathed word of life. Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest politicians that ever lived. I am busily engaged in the study of the Bible. I believe it is God's word because it finds me where I am. What an interesting sentence. It finds me where I am. Have you ever discovered that for yourself? You're in the middle of a Bible study. You're studying it, and all of a sudden, that's me. Somehow or another, the Bible knows me. Somehow or another, I'm in here. My name is here somewhere. Here it is. Sir Isaac Newton, one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. I have a fundamental belief in the Bible as the Word of God written by men who were inspired, God breathed. I study the Bible daily. Oh, one of the greatest novelists in the world. The New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world. Charles Dickens. The Bible is God's gift to us, the church, to equip us, the church, for the work in the world so that God's purposes might be fulfilled on earth. It's a gift that is a banquet and a feast, always new and always fresh and always ready to enliven and enlighten and empower and energize and challenge us so that we might become disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ with the focus, the intention of transforming the world in the name of Jesus Christ to fulfill the ultimate purposes of God. So the admonition. Enjoy the feast. Come to the banquet. Personally, often, become a student of the Scriptures. Revel in it. Rejoice in it. Study it. Share it together. Enjoy Bible studies for you in Sunday school classes and all the experiences you have with it. It is central to who we are. It is the core of how we understand our faith. John Wesley said it this way, God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end he came from heaven. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be homo unius libri, the man of one book. John Wesley was an Oxford scholar. Yes, he read many, many, many books. But when it came to the book of life, for the book that centered his life and the way he would live his life, he was the man of one book. He also admonished us, the church, in all cases, the church is to be judged by the Scripture and not Scripture by the church. The Word of God. Sola Scriptura, the Word alone. Prima Scriptura, the Word first.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.